Now, we're looking this morning, we're in our series, which is Eternity in My Heart, and the challenge of this series is that we are living a life that is tracking with God, that we are moving along with Him and walking with Him, and time again in Scripture, when kings begin to make wrong decisions, when they begin to make decisions that hurt their people, when their kingdoms begin to come under attack from foreign enemies, and they lost power to overcome their enemies again and again and again, it was because the king was not following the Lord. He wasn't tracking with the Lord. And we were looking at some of the passages in 1 and 2 Kings, which are two great history books in God's Old Testament. I'm pulling away a little bit from that today because I want to bear down on another important issue about tracking with God. Because if you are honest, and I know that you will be, there are a lot of times that it is difficult for us to get our life once we realize that we have wandered. How do you effectively get your life back on track? Sometimes that can be really, really hard just to kind of get a grip on everything. And so we're going to talk about today, we'll look at God's Word. If you notice that the message title is Breakdown or Breakthrough. Because what I want you to understand is this. If you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, if God is indeed your Father, God wants you walking with Him. I know as a dad, one of the things that is really at the top of my want list, above anything else, I want my two sons tracking with me. I want us to be together. And if you are a child of God, if you belong to the Lord, if you know Him through Jesus Christ, God wants you tracking with Him. And I can tell you, if you have wandered from Him, God is already at work drawing you back to Himself. And that's really what we're going to talk about. Because what God is doing in my life, and what He does in my life when I get off track, and what He's doing in your life if you're off track, is either going to bring you to a point of breakdown, or you'll find a breakthrough. Because more than God wants me to be happy, God wants me to be close to Him. God wants a family. Joel, Don, and the team talked about Jesus coming, coming down to us. Why did He come down? He came down because God wants a family. God wants a forever family. And He wants us to be in relationship with Him. And sometimes we're not. And when we're not, things happen. And look at Psalm 50, verse 15. It's at the top of your life point outline if you get that out of your Sunday bulletin. The psalmist wrote, and he said, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will honor me." Now, if that is true, that when you're in trouble, if you call upon the Lord God, that He will rescue you and you will honor Him, if that is true, and it is, then it is also true what Job said when he said, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of," what? Trouble. Man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. And so trouble comes into my life. Trouble comes into your life. And as a child of God, we've got to ask ourselves a very important question. Here's a question I want to ask you. Do you live your life, do you and I live our life more dependent on us or on Him? Now, don't you say, "Oh, on Him." Does that really show up in your life? Does it show up on a day-to-day basis that your life is more dependent on God than it is on you by the way that you live our life, your life? Our text says, talks about the day of trouble. I want you to write down somewhere, Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 10. Because that passage is speaking to believers, and it says there comes a time in our life when we walk in darkness and have no light. Now, I don't know about you, but I think you would agree with me. You don't have to watch a whole lot of news or read papers or whatever, and just looking at the world around you to realize that there are millions of Americans today who are struggling. And there are, I would say, millions of Christians who are struggling. And the reason I believe that is happening at the intensity that's happening is because God is seeking to draw us back to Himself. God wants us to come to Him. And so He is working in this. Now, I want you to look at this insight in your outline. Where we are as a nation and in our personal lives is all the same. In other words, it's because of the same reason. And it is because we are depending more on ourselves than we are depending on Him. We live our lives as though life really depends on us. And that's the reason why trouble and difficulty comes into my life and comes into your life the way that it does. Look at this next insight. God has allowed needs and desperation to come into your life and my life of such a nature that only He can be the answer. I want you to think about with me, beloved, this morning about some impossible situations in your life. Maybe they're beginning to crop up. An impossible resolution between maybe you and your spouse. An impossible situation between you and a sibling, a brother or sister. An impossible situation between you and your child. An impossible situation at work that maybe threatens your financial future. Maybe seemingly an impossible situation with your health. And here's what I want you to understand. We have created a God that's like a slot machine. That we just want Him for what we get out of it. And what God is wanting from you and me is that God is wanting our love. He said, I have made you. I made you for myself. I made you to have a relationship with you. I am creating a heaven for you to live in with me forever. And what is happening on this earth is that many of us are beginning to wander away from Him and to live lives that are displeasing to the Lord. We're making decisions that are ungodly decisions. We're losing our ability to influence people around us for Jesus Christ. We are becoming so much like the world sees no difference between us and them. And God just can't have that. And so here's what happens. When I'm not being the pastor that I need to be, when I'm not being the husband that I need to be, when I'm not being the father or the granddad that God wants me to be, when those things begin to happen in your life, here's what God does. Because I'm beginning to live life myself, I'm making my own decisions, God lovingly begins to pull back. And when God begins to pull back out of my life, in your life, here's what happens. Every time God pulls out, crisis pops up. We have crisis. God creates these crises in our lives by pulling back. And what is His purpose? Now listen to me. Watch this. God is wanting to create in you and me a prayer life. God is wanting to initiate you and me talking to Him on a day-to-day basis. Because once we begin to pray to Him, once we begin to commune with Him, then God can begin to bring the blessings and the power and the anointing of heaven back into your life and my life. God can begin to win battles for us. God can begin to open up doors for us. God can begin to bless us in the way that He wants to bless us, in the way that He's not going to bless us until we begin to seek Him and to honor Him as God. And it isn't just any kind of prayer that God's going to accept. Here's a warning in Scripture. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I realize that there is sin in my life, the Lord will not hear me. Does God hear every prayer? Of course he does. God knows everything. The eyes of the Lord go throughout the whole earth. God is seeing everything. Does God hear every prayer? Of course he does. But God doesn't pay attention to all of them. And that's what he's talking about. When I know that there is sin in my life, when I know I'm not living the way I ought to live, and I cry out to God, does God hear me? Yes. But God doesn't respond until I do something about that sin. And there is desperation that I have known in my life, and that maybe you're knowing in your life, that many of us have brought in with us this morning when we came in to this service. And the reason that the desperation is there, the reason the misery is in your home, the reason that there are so many question marks about your job or about relationships or about your life moving forward, is because there is a God in heaven who loves you and cares for you. And there is a connection between the lack of holiness in your life and my life and the struggles that we're going through. And God says, I want you to connect the dots. And so here's an insight I want you to notice in your outline. God is looking for an occasion to go to war on your behalf. Isn't that good news? Huh? God said, I want to bless you. I want to do you good. And I hate the dominion of darkness in your life. God hates siblings being at war with each other. God hates families being at war. God hates husbands and wives splitting up. He says, I hate divorce. God hates husbands and wives not being together. God hates parents and children not being together. God hates the fact that evil is in control, maybe in your job, and therefore it's putting you in a position of jeopardy because of where you are and who you know and how you're trying to live your life. And here's what God is saying. God is saying, in order for there to be a change, you have got to begin to live a life of holiness to him. And I want to tell you here this morning, this is the message that the Holy Spirit is going to bring up again and again and again in the churches, the true churches across America. I want you to listen to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Now just listen to what Peter says. Therefore, brothers, be even more diligent to make your calling an election sure. For if you do, you will never stumble. For an entrance will be supplied for you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, when he says make your calling and election sure, what is Peter saying? What he's simply saying is, he's saying, beloved, live a life of sanctification to the Lord. Make your calling sure. Make it evident that you really do belong to him. Show that you really belong to him by the way that you live your life and the path to seeing God do wondrous things. You know, a while ago I was listening as Joel and the team were singing. And I felt the excitement in you as you were singing that God has given you freedom and joy. And I just wonder, has God done that? Do you sense that you've got that freedom and that joy? Have you found that there is power in the name of Jesus in your life? You know him, you've come to faith in him. But is that power evident in your life? And what Peter is simply saying is, it is the path to seeing God do wondrous things in your life as a child of God is being sanctified to him. And sanctified is another word for holy. I cannot get from God what I need with dirty hands. God will not bless a dirty home. God will not bless immorality. He will not provide for wickedness in the lives of his kids. Leviticus 11 and 14, God says, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. Sanctification, what is that? It's an $80 word that means it is the process of becoming holy. It is God me working with the Holy Spirit, yielding to the Holy Spirit who is in me and who's in you if you know Christ. It is working with him to let him bring purity into your life. For you to have some purity there, being set apart from the world and from sin. Let me just show you how important this is. After 40 years in the wilderness, you remember the story of, you know, Moses and the people sinned against God and would not go over into the promised land. So God said, you will not enter into my rest. And he said, all of you that have rebelled against me, you're going to die in the wilderness. And so they went in the wilderness and all that generation died, but their children grew up. And so at the end of the 40 years in the wilderness, there was a generation of Israelites who knew the Lord, but they had never seen God do mighty things. They'd never seen God open the heavens. They'd never seen God work in their behalf like their fathers had seen. And so the time came when God spoke to Joshua, the leader that took the place of Moses. And in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5, God said, told Joshua, tell the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And what God is saying is, I'm ready to do wonders among you. But in order for me to do wonders among you, the first thing is all the men here who were raised up in the wilderness must be circumcised. Now, have you ever wondered, why does God do that? Some of you women are saying, I'm glad I'm not a man. Why did he require the men who followed him? Why do you require Israel to be circumcised? Because in circumcision, in cutting off the foreskin of the man's sexual organ, man was testifying, I realize that fundamentally, at my core, there's something wrong with me. And the only thing I can reproduce in my life is more of me. And I am allowing this to be cut off to testify to the God of heaven, I need something broken in my life. I need a power broken in me because I have no ability to produce anything else except what I am, and that's a sinner. And that's why God said every man who will not be circumcised will be thrown out and will live under a curse. And we are under a curse. Every man, every woman is under a curse who will not testify there is a need for circumcision in their heart. That the only thing you can produce on your own is more of what you are, a sinner lost from God. And you need God to do something in you. You need God to transform you, to remake you. And so God said, before you will, I will do anything of wondrous in your life, the men must be circumcised. And so they went through all of that. But he said, I will not do wonders from you unless you are sanctified. Paul talks about that, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. This is the will of God, your sanctification. He's going to be very specific about what that is. That you avoid sexual immorality. What is that? So a lot of times we don't know what that is today. Sexual immorality is a sexual physical relationship with anybody who's not your husband or your wife. And whenever you are sexually active with someone you're not married to, that's immorality. It's lack of sanctification, and it will remove the blessing of God off of your life. He said that each of you learn how to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. And in this, no one shall wrong his brother in Christ or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men who do such sins. God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. He who rejects this rejects God. So how do you sanctify your life? I want you to write this down somewhere. You ready? Fasting is an essential means of sanctifying your life. pulling away from the world and getting closer to God. He told the men before they went into Jericho, he said, do not come near your wives. I want purity among you. God, what was that all about? Does that mean a relationship between a husband and a wife is not holy? No. What God was simply saying is, I want you to deny yourself. And if you want my blessing, deny yourself because you're saying, God, I need you more than I need anything else in my life. Does that make sense? All right, here's what God is saying. God is saying there are things I want to do in your life that I'm not doing in your life because you won't deny yourself for me. There are things that you're wanting that you're not getting because you won't deny yourself. You will not permit yourself to suffer. You will not deny your flesh. You will not do without so that you can have. You won't. And in Joshua chapter 3, when Israel went across the Jordan and they went into the promised land, there were two cities in their future, Jericho and Ai. Jericho was met by obedience to the Lord God, and Jericho came tumbling down, right? Ai was met with disobedience and sin, and Ai was destruction, and they couldn't get past it. And so here's what God is saying to you and to me. Every one of us, right now this morning, you came in here with some problems, with some challenges that you haven't been able to overcome. Whether it's tension in the home, whether it's something between you and your spouse, or you and a child, or you and someone else, or you and your work, or you and your future, there's something in your life that's like an impossible situation. And I want to be honest with you, God is seeking to draw you to himself through something that will not budge in your life. And here's a question you got to ask yourself. Am I facing a Jericho or am I facing an Ai? God says you get to choose. Because, the insight, God is looking for an occasion to go to war on your behalf. God says, I want to do that. I want to help you. I want to help you in an impossible situation. But it requires you coming to me with fasting. Now, let me just dive into this. You probably didn't see this coming, but this is absolutely critical to us becoming the church and to becoming the people that God wants us to be. So let me do number one, what fasting is. And this may be like, you know, class 101 for many of us. It's just good to go over this again and understand it, because this is going to be part of your future going forward if you're going to track with God. Understand that. All we like sheep have gone astray. I'm going to go astray. You're going to go astray. There are going to be times we're going to have impossible situations come up in our life. There are going to be times, even when I am tracking with God, that Satan and hell is going to resist me. So how do I overcome? Fasting has to be a part of it. Prayer and fasting. So look, number one, what is fasting? Well, it's actually, the word means to abstain from food. And if you just abstain from food and you don't pray, then it's dieting. But if it's fasting, it's doing without food combined with seeking God. Those two things coming together. Being on your face before God while you're doing without food. Let me give you, first of all, the types of fasts that are in the Bible. There's, first of all, a normal fast. That's, you know, like water, juice, but nothing, no food. Nothing that you eat. Nothing like it, just water and juice. There's the partial fast. This is like the Daniel fast. The Daniel fast, which was 21 days, we've done that a couple of years here, is you're fasting from certain foods. And basically, you fast from anything that comes from something that you could kill. that's what Daniel did. You know, he didn't have meat, he didn't have milk, he didn't have eggs. You know, all he had was pulse, which was vegetables. You know, it sounds like mashed up gruel, but it was just a partial fast of, he just on vegetables and water. All right, then there is the total fast. Total fast, Esther did a total fast. She did it for 3 days, which is basically the only length of time that you could do a total fast, and that's where you don't eat or drink at all. Nothing comes through your mouth. You go for 3 days with nothing. That's a total fast, seeking the Lord. And that's what Esther did, and that fast saved her life. And that's what God simply wants you to know. When you are facing impossible situations, there is a biblical way to face them, and it's fasting. Then number two, talk about the duration of the fast. I give this to you in your outline. I give you the passages. Let me tell you the duration. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 18, it was for one night. The king fasted one whole night. He did without supper. He went all night long and didn't have anything in behalf of this man that he loved, Daniel, that he'd be spared from the lion's den. Esther 4:16, the Jews, Esther fasted 3 days, okay? 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 35, David fasted for a day. He went a whole day fasting before the Lord. Acts 27:33, the sailors fasted 14 days because they were in a storm that had all the potential to carry them to the bottom, and they were fasting, calling out to God for deliverance. And then Daniel chapter 10 and verse 3, Daniel fasted. That's his 21-day fast on just vegetables and water. And then Luke chapter 4 and verse 2 is a 40-day fast, and that was the Lord. He fasted 40 days without food there in the wilderness. And listen to me just a minute and watch this. Here's what God wants you and I to understand. There will be times each year that as a church, because this will be part of our life, there will be times from time to time as years progress when we will do a fast and we'll all be on the same page. It'll just be the way the Holy Spirit is leading us. And it may be a 21-day fast or whatever. But what I want you to understand is the duration of the fast is determined by what you're dealing with. And you need, that's what you need to pray about. What is it that's going on in my life? In other words, maybe it may be something that calls you to 40 days of being on a fast. Maybe a Daniel fast for 40 days and not 21 days. Or maybe it's a 3-day fast. Maybe you want to go 3 days without food or water because of the intensity of what's going on in your life. It's not about the duration. It's about why you're fasting. That's what's important. What God is looking at is the heart. God is looking and seeing, is the intensity there? Is there this hunger for me to do something in your life? And you're realizing that life is about him and not about you and me. That's what God is looking for. And it's called fasting unto the Lord. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But here's the insight I want you to notice. Fasting is a time to turn away from and deprive yourself of something significant, to gain the help of God and draw near to him. Now remember, if it's not self-denial, then it's not fasting. If it doesn't cost you, if it doesn't humble the flesh, it's not fasting. And so here's the 2015 Easter challenge, all right? This is what I want you to take home today. That you and I will do the fast of our choice. We're changing it this year. This is the fast of your choice. 21 days, 3 days, here, there, you know, several weeks during this time. But that you will choose the fast of your choice starting Ash Wednesday, which is February the 18th, going through Easter Sunday morning, April the 5th. That's 40 days. But it's not a solid 40 days of fasting, but it is a period of fasting before the Lord, and you choose when you're going to do it, how long you're going to do it, and the intensity that you're going to do it. But it is all about you and me seeking him. It is about us asking him to do something in our midst that we want to see God do. It's about asking him to do something in our homes and in our families and in our relationships because we can't overcome it. And what God is simply saying is, it is fasting that brings me into the situation. And so number two, what's the purpose of fasting? Some of this is just repetition for you. But the insight, fasting is about turning away from something and turning toward Him. And why do you do that? Because you want a breakthrough, or you're going to have a breakdown. Some of you are there this morning. I know. If you don't have a breakthrough, you're going to have a breakdown. You're going to have a breakdown because of what's happening in your home, because of what's happening at work, because of what's going on in your personal life. If you don't have a breakthrough, if God doesn't come and do something in your life, you feel like, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to break down. This is just absolutely overwhelming. And so that brings up an obvious question in your outline. As we focus on fasting for God's help, what needs come to your mind? Maybe you've already been thinking about that. What is it that you want God to do? And here's the second question. If God was to say, John, well, if he's talking to me, he wouldn't call you John probably, but if he was to say, what are the top three things that you want me to do? What's the top three? What's the big three that you want me to do in your life or the church or in your family? I need to know what I'd ask, what I'd say. How would you answer that? What would you say are the big three? What are the top three things that you need a breakthrough, or maybe you're going to have a breakdown? What are the top three things that you really want in your life? Maybe it wouldn't bring you to a breakdown, but it's just on you, and you just want to see this overcome. Well, here's a caveat in your outline. You need to determine to minister to the Lord as you fast. And that's what I talked about. Acts 13 says, as they fasted and prayed, they ministered to the Lord. What does that mean? How do you minister to the Lord? You minister to the Lord when you don't come to Him just trying to get something out of Him, but you come to Him because you're saying, Father, I want to be close to You. God, I want to know Your hand on me as I come in and as I go out. Lord, I want to know that the shadow of Your presence is over me. I want to know that You're with me. I want to know that You're here. God, I want to draw near to You. Because You're learning that you can have a lot of money and be miserable. You're learning you can live in a nice home and want to die. You're learning that maybe you can be married to somebody who looks really hot. They look really good. And home is hell. Fasting is about wanting Him. There's some reasons that people fasted in Scripture. Let me give them to you as fast as I can. Number one is divine guidance. God, I don't know what direction to go. That's a reason for fasting. You just seek Him. That's Judges 20 and 26. Number two, victory over temptation. That, you know, maybe it's nothing that's an addiction, but it's like you just fall to one thing after another. It's like, you know, I can't take two steps forward without taking three steps back. You know, I just keep shooting myself in the foot. You know, I just keep falling to one thing after another. And weakness against temptation can be changed through fasting. This is a pathway to becoming a man or a woman whose life is blessed. Number three, freedom from addictions. That, you know, maybe there's some of you here this morning that, you know, maybe you don't smoke, but you dip. Maybe somebody here this morning is a closet alcoholic. You keep it from everybody else, but, you know, you can't get away from that bottle or that beer can or whatever. And there's pornography that just grips so many people, and you want to quit, and you've tried so many times, but just keeps coming back. That's one of the reasons for being on your face before God, fasting. Then number four, living good and having an influence for the Lord. Isaiah 58 and 8, your righteousness shall go before you. See, God can cause you to have influence with people for Christ. It is through prayer and fasting that you can say, God, I give me the hearts of the people who are around me for the sake of the kingdom. Lord, I want to be able to influence people for you. That's why you would fast, that God would grant you their hearts. I mean, that's a God business thing there. And then number five, that you'd pray for the leaders of the church. Let me tell you something. Nothing would be more devastating to this church, I don't think, than for the pastors here to fall by sin. Moral failure is devastating to a church. It can take decades for a church to get over that, if they ever do. And the early church understood that, and they prayed for their pastors that God would keep them from evil and keep evil from them. Then number six, some of us need to pray for physical healing at times. And when the doctors can't do something, God says, honor me. Honor me. It can be something that they don't see. I can show them. Am I not Jehovah Rapha? Am I not the God who heals? Is that not my name? Can I not work in your behalf? Of course I can. And sometimes I'll never see that happen until I deny myself through fasting and lay out before him until that burden is lifted. Or you may, number seven, want to pray for just a revival and spiritual awakening. If they're just, if people would just start loving the Lord, God would just begin drawing people to him. Number eight, for material provision. James said, you do not have because you do not ask. Let me tell you something. There are things in God's store. Listen to me. Look at me for just a minute. There are things in God's storehouse that God is able to provide for you that some of you are not getting simply because you haven't asked. There are things that God will do that he doesn't do because you don't ask. He said, ask so that you can receive. God doesn't give me everything I ask for, but God will always give me what I need. And what I want more than anything is I want his storehouse open over me. I want, this is what I pray. God, I want every blessing you are willing to give me today. I want to receive it. I want every one. And I'll leave that to you. Now, there's sometimes I get specific, but most of the time I'm just like, God, I just want to know your hand is on me. I want to be blessed as I come in and as I go out. You see, that God simply says, that's how I want you to live your life. I want you to know you don't live your life by you. You live it by me. You live it by me. And then number nine, overcome fear and doubt and negativity through fasting. Ephesians 5 and 29 says, don't let corrupt communication come out of your mouth. You know what corrupt communication is out of the mouth of so many believers? It is we speak fear and jealousy and anger and negativity. And God wants to break that. I mean, that's not the way Jesus was. God wants to deliver us from such a spirit that oppresses so many of us. And God can do that. Which brings us to my last point this morning. Prayer with fasting humbles us and exalts God. Now listen, if you want to track with God, watch me for a minute. If you want to track with God, you have to always remember he's God and you're not. You say, well, duh. We need to remember that on a weekly basis. Once every 7 days, you come into the house of the Lord to remember that he's God and you're not. Once every 7 days, you are to bring your family and you to the house of God, wherever God's Spirit is calling you to worship him. You come together and you are to remember that you are getting ahead in life and you are where you are in life, not only by your brains, but by his blessings. Does it require you to work? Yes. You must labor and you must give it your best. But there are people smarter than you. There are people who work harder than you. There are people who persevere more than you do, and they are not where you are in life. And I'll tell you why. It is because God, for his own reason and his own purpose, has chosen to bless you. And there are times when God will allow you to get stumped. And I'll tell you why. And this is the insight in your outline. The struggle of our life experience may be because God sees our approach to life as prideful arrogance, and he resists us. David said in Psalm 35, I humbled myself with fasting. When's the last time you fasted? We have to ask ourselves that. You see, that needs to become a way of life for you and me. It needs to be a way of life for you that you fast before the Lord. You fast. Jesus said, when you fast. He didn't say if. The Lord said, when you fast. When's the last time you fasted? When's the last time that you did without to seek him? It's an honest question. Jesus said, it's not if, it's when. He said, the Lord expects me to be fasting. He said, that ought to be a part of your life because you can't live life without me. And there are going to be impossible situations that only I can handle. And I'll tell you what, there are times that I feel like I'm tracking with God and I'm not. And so God allows me to get frustrated. Can I give you a definition of holy frustration? Here it is. Holy frustration is doing everything you know to do, keeping at it, and yet it won't work. It's holy frustration. You could bite a 10-penny nail in two, slap in two, bite bark off a tree. What tree do you want me to skin? I'll bite every ounce of bark on it off. I am so mad. Frustrated inside. Why am I frustrated? Because God is saying, call unto me in the day of your trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. So, here's the invitation. Look at your outline. Will you accept this morning, this is the invitation, that you would say, Pastor John, I accept the 2015 Easter Challenge, and I'm going to seek God for the fast that I believe I need to choose from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday, April 5th. I accept that challenge. And that's between you and God, what you're going to do and when you're going to do it. But you say, I'm in. Count me in. I'm in. I'm asking you this morning, will you say, I'm in? Now, we're going to open the altar in just a moment. We'll give you an opportunity just to dedicate yourself, say, God, I'm in. Or you can take a Connect card and write your name on that and say, Pastor, I'm in, and drop it in the offering bag in just a moment. But I want you to do that. And then number two, will you commit to give God a chance for your impossible situation? Will you this morning not leave here without saying, God, this is my impossible situation, and I'm going to start the process of bringing it to you. You have felt hopeless in this. You can't make it work. You can't change it. And so God's message to you this morning is prayer and fasting. This is how you're going to break it. You're going to bring me into it. And so I want to ask you this morning to say yes to that. Yes to him. Because we're going to learn, if we're going to be the church that God wants us to be, if Harmony Hill is going to be a church that God uses in this city, generation after generation, decade after decade, we will be a fasting church. We will be a church that fasts and prays. It's going to be part of our life. And we're going to have the testimonies of overcoming impossible situations, seeing lives changed, seeing families put back together, seeing relationships that were just like impossible mended, seeing healings take place, seeing doors open for families, young men, older men, to proceed and move forward in their life, for them to have move up into places of influence. Listen, before God puts you in a place of influence, he wants your heart. Do you understand that? And you may not be moving forward because God cannot trust you. So let him trust you. How do I do it, John? Fast and pray. God said, that's how you draw near to me. That's how I know your heart. That you'll say yes to you, or no to you, and yes to him. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. The pastors are going to be here in the altar with me. You have an opportunity to come this morning I'm not going to keep the invitation open long, but as long as we need. And I want to invite you this morning to say yes to him. Yes to the 2015 Easter Challenge. Yes to carrying your impossible situation to him. Father, thank you this morning for the word. Thank you for teaching and instructing us. God, thank you for giving us hope for a change. That change can come. There is a way to break open doors that are impossible. And that's you. You do the impossible. And we touch heaven through fasting and prayer. And so, Father, it's about drawing near to you. It's about being holy and set apart. It's about being clean, being blessable. And so, Father, this morning, we're crying out to you. Start the journey with us. I pray across this auditorium, men and women will start the journey that will last all their lives for the power of God to be displayed as they come in and as they go out, for chains to be broken, for bondage to be released. And we thank you now, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. You come this morning for while we sing to the Lord.